right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for tuning in. This is Mark Sussman, and you are listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that makes a difference and hopefully will make a difference in your life to more or less get you to be bolder, braver, more adventurous, more curious, and also entertain you at the same time. As you know, every week I have various individuals that I consider cutting-edge thought leaders, and there's somebody here that I invited to be with us, and I'm just going to right now say his first name is Eric, and his last name is Shivishan, and for over 10 years now, he's honed his craft as a skilled speaker and creative, empowering people over the world to live more and do more, and that really seems to be what his mission is to inspire people, power them to live more and do more. Whether working on philanthropic projects or speaking on a stage, audiences agree his passion is extraordinary. It is no coincidence, then, that he's widely regarded as a key influencer of this generation. He's created a repertoire of creator content that is helping shaping the ever-growing community of doers. And what intrigued me was, He said he's been doing this now for 10 years. He left home when he was 13. So that definitely intrigued me. And I said, I want to find out more about that. So welcome, Eric, to the Inspire Possibility Show.
Thank you, Mark. And it's I really appreciate you having me on your show. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to our conversation. And as I said, the idea that you left home at 13. I'd like to hear a little bit about your journey, what happened, and where were you living at the time, and why did you decide to do that? And what's interesting is that your parents agreed to it.
Right. It's a fascinating story. So originally my family is from the Bay Area. My parents immigrated from Guatemala to the United States, and they made home in the Bay Area, in San Rafael to be more exact, in Marin County. So that's where I grew up most of my life. Now, around at the age of 11, my parents owned a home in the East Bay and decided that it was a good idea to sell the home and move to Los Angeles. So up to this point, up to 11 years old, all I knew was the Bay Area, all my friends, my family.
Right.
My upbringing was in the Bay Area. So, again, this decision came out of left field, and my parents decided to actually sell the house and move to Los Angeles, so which was really interesting because we went from a four-bedroom home in the East Bay, being one of the first families, right, in our circle of friends and the community to actually own a home. They sold it, and we moved to an apartment. And when I say we moved to an apartment, that's really – an apartment would be a luxury in comparison
right.
to the studio we moved into in Los Angeles, right? So we make the move. My dad leaves first. Then my mom, my younger sister, and myself join him a few months later. Now, interesting to note that I have two older brothers, both of which who were in high school, and they decided to stay here because they were old enough to, you know, be responsible for themselves and,
right.
you know, just be with family, friends. So I actually, the week before we left, I remember sitting around a group of people, and we were talking. We were all so excited, and it hit me right there and then that my life was going to change forever. So I told them, they said, what's going on? I said, I'm moving next week to Los Angeles. I don't want to move. You know, I wish I could stay with, like, my brothers are. And unfortunately, right, I had to make the move, and I moved to Los Angeles. So I moved to Los Angeles, and just being there was a shock because it was completely different. Again, we're going from a four-bedroom home where I had a room that I shared with my brother to sleeping on a couch in the studio, right? So as things progressed, everything just started changing for me. And it was seventh grade that I was studying in Los Angeles this particular year. And it just became one of the hardest years for me because, again, I was away from my friends. It was a different environment. But more importantly, I don't know what financial decisions my parents made, right, to go from that situation.
Right.
So everything else just started changing. So my lifestyle from what I ate to what I listened to what I did on a daily basis. So my life really got enclosed into the studio environment, right, and living in an apartment with a bunch of other people, right? So it was just a huge drastic change for me. But it was that year, right, that really motivated me and inspired me and really got me in tune with what I really wanted to do in life, right? It was really a molding year for me because although I was away from certain people, I was away from friends and I felt alone during this stage, I took it upon myself to really dig deep and see what it is that I wanted out of life. So what really helped
This is when you're 13, you're really questioning what you want from life?
Exactly.
Wow.
So I'm asking all these questions and right. So I'm spending a lot of time to myself, right, because I'm angry at the whole situation. I'm angry that I'm being bused to school an hour away. I'm angry that the environment I live in is not conducive to where I want to be and what I want to do. Right. So I'm living in Los Angeles, a few miles away from Hollywood, where obviously I'm watching TV and I'm right seeing what's going on. And I'm saying, wow, it's so crazy how there's people who are a few miles away from me and they're living this glamorous, extraordinary life. And here I am living a few miles away in a studio apartment, listening to the radio and really listening to the words these people are singing and saying, wow, I want that to be my life. I want to travel. I want to be able to enjoy the finer things in life. So what I started to do is I found a system. As people would leave the apartment, and there was a certain particular stage in these few months where we had up to six people living in a one-bedroom studio, right? So you can imagine.
And this is your family, Eric? Who was living there, your family?
So I have my dad, my mother, and my younger sister, and myself, and then for some reason family friends began to just come in, right? So they needed a place to crash, a place to stay.
Right.
So eventually it was up to six people, right? So you can imagine in a one-bedroom studio how cramped that got. So in the weekend, what would happen is people would leave and then go play soccer. They go watch a movie. They'd go out. So I decided that I would stay in. And that was me time. It was me time because I had the television to myself. And during this time, I would watch the Travel Channel religiously. And I would write down all these places I would see on the Travel Channel. So I would see Thailand. I would see Rome. I would see Vegas. I would see Italy. I would see New York. All these various places that people are actually having fun in. And I would write these down in a notebook. And I'd say, one day, I have to take myself to these places and live this type of life that I see people living on the Travel Channel. So long story short, seventh grade ends, not the best school year ever. And in the midst of that, a lot of, you know, trouble had been bubbling at home between my parents. They weren't having the best relationship, obviously, and then money started to become an issue. So I saw all this and I noticed it and I said, okay, well, I've gained enough knowledge up to now. I know what I want to do. I know what I need in order to get there. I said, well, I see the Titanic going down, right? I always share this joke with my friends. I always make this comparison to my parents' matrimony. I saw everything crumbling down. I saw it coming down. And I said, I don't know what's going to happen in the next few months. I don't want to be a part of this. I want to get out of here. So in the midst of this confusion and this difficult time, I spoke to my parents, and it was in their best interest and my best interest to actually move back and live with family friends. Now, obviously, this is a hard decision for any parent to make. As you can imagine,
sure,
it took a lot of persuasion on my end. But then also, they were at a moment in their lives where they didn't know what was going to go on with their lives. So it was an easier easier decision to make than you would imagine, especially since I was very close with the family that was actually going to be receiving me as soon as I got back from the Bay Area. So long story short, Mark, I got on a Greyhound train. I had one bag, literally one bag with my personal belongings, which was just clothes and, you know, toothbrush and toothpaste, and a little bit of clothes. And that's all I really had. I remember going to the Greyhound, and I remember looking at my parents and seeing them together, and it was the last time I would ever see them together happily, right? And what happened there was, you know, I could see it in their face, and it was just a realization that our family as a unit that we once knew was no longer ever going to be together again. And I had come to the realization that that was going to be a fact in my life, and I accepted it at that age. So from there on, from 13 on, I just ventured off, and I was living with family, friends. Obviously, you know, I was living with an aunt, one of my mother's sisters, who I had a close relationship to. I had grown up with my cousins on that side of the family. So it made perfect sense. So I went from sleeping on a couch in the studio apartment to sleeping on a floor in Richmond to begin eighth grade. And from there on, I learned how to be grateful. I learned how to be appreciative. But more importantly, I learned how to actually put in work and get the results you wanted. So it was definitely a learning curve. I didn't have, you know, the knowledge that I have up to this point now at that age. But it was definitely an interesting transition to say the least. Yeah.
So in your materials that you sent me, it said in the 10 years from that point on, you would go to raise over $1 million in keynote speaking and provide scholarships to hundreds of students across the Bay Area. So how did that happen? What exactly occurred?
Sure. So there's a long process between that, as you know, right? So from 13 all the way to, you know, doing keynote speaking, my first speech was until the age of 15. Mm-hmm. And at the age of 15, I got into speaking. I was very involved, heavily involved in church, in a Pentecostal church. And I learned.
What kind of church was it?
A Pentecostal church.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in there, right, I had a lot of friends that were my age. And again, these are childhood friends that I've known. So I was just so happy to be back and see them and be in communication with them. But in this meantime, I get an invitation to speak and just present a few thoughts. It was only a 5-minute, you know, speech. And I remember preparing and standing in front of the mirror and saying, hey, I've never given a speech before, but heck, I'll give it a try. And, you know, I listened to other speakers. I saw what they did right, and, you know, what they did wrong. And I took notes and I created my own speech. And after I gave my first speech, I remember this lady came up to me and said, Eric, I didn't understand one word you said. You were so nervous and you were going so fast that I could barely really make out what you were saying. She said, but I like your enthusiasm and I like the way you presented it. She said, if you continue doing this, I'm sure you'll be good at it. So obviously I heard all the good parts of her compliment and I continued with it. So I kept studying, I continued improving, I continued listening to other speakers. And eventually this opportunity came up in high school where you could actually talk about, it was a competition on immigration. So you could imagine this was probably in 2006, I believe. We're going back to 2006 now in high school. And, I realized it was competition, and I said, hey, I've been doing some speaking here and there, and I believe I can, you know, get the crowd on my side and possibly win. So the topic was immigration, my solution. I talked to a few teachers, and I got some information from them. And what I realized, is this is a great learning experience for me, was that you could always practice a speech and deliver it really well. However, you still need structure. And that was what I was lacking. So that really helped me in finding out what I really wanted to do and my passion. And from there on, I ended up losing the tournament. I got second place, although I can guarantee you that there was no dry eye left after my speech. But what I did miss was structure. So what I realized was that I can appeal to people's emotions, yet I hadn't really got the structure to actually have an influencing message. So I continued with life, as you could imagine, a teenager, a young teenager. I'm involved in sports. I'm busy. I'm working. So I have a few things going on in my life. And after college, after high school, right, I had made the decision that I wanted to study at a private school. And I remember going to the first day of classes, and saying, wow, like I did it. I graduated from high school. This is what I always wanted to do since the age of 13, right? I graduated from high school. Now I'm in college. I'm a first generation college student. I'm the first person in my entire family to go to college.
And where did you go to college?
The first school that I actually attended was called Patton University. It's a private university right out of Oakland. And from there on, I spent a year there at that university. And it was there where I got an introduction to communications. I didn't know that speaking actually had a technical term, a professional term, which was called communications. So I took my first course in communications, and it was like magic, Mark. My eyes lit up. When I saw that Puerto Rican professor with the white hair, with the leather jacket, stand up and give one of the greatest presentations, but in one of the calmest, coolest, collective ways I've ever seen, I said, that's what I want to do. Because I remember all the students.
So let me do this, Eric.
Yeah. Sure.
Is I kind of want to get into Chevy life, and you know, I'm being aware of our time that we have together. So this evolved into Chevy life, right?
Correct. Yes.
This was the roots. What you did, your upbringing, your childhood, really was a foundation for you to take a bold step, create Chevy Life, and which is your organization empowering many, many people around the world. So why don't you tell the listeners and me, tell us about what Chevy Life is. Because I want to compliment you on how you came up with that name, how you integrated the first part of your name. Chevishan? How did I do on saying your name right?
Fantastic. Way better than any other teacher has ever done. Thank you.
All right. So how did you – so you created this Chevy Life, and what is that? What is it? How did it come to be? You obviously wanted to take this to the next level. And so tell us about Chevy Life. What is it exactly? And I know you have some colleagues that are involved too. So tell us a little bit about that. And there's a lot
Chevy
more I want
Life
to
is,
ask you, so just kind of give us the short version.
Yeah, the Chevy Life is a lifestyle brand that I created and started in 2012 with $180 in my pocket. And it came about after a few years, and I actually, as I just explained my past, I got to a point in my life where I was a spokesperson for an organization, and I had worked my way up from a communications intern all the way to the spokesperson position in a matter of a few months. So you could imagine the type of influence and impact I was having at that stage. It was just that I loved sharing my story, but more importantly, I wanted to help other people. So this organization helped provide and fund college education for students. So in the midst of me doing this, I'm getting recognition, and obviously I came from the studio, the studio in Los Angeles, and now I'm standing on stages. I said, this is great, and people are really, you know, recognizing me now. And I said, but that's not what I'm doing it for. I want to impact more people. So I said, the best way to do that is to literally, create something that is going to go on beyond just words and can reach millions of people through social media. So I had a few things that influenced me. A lot of it was music. A lot of it was friends. But more importantly, it was just seeing other people my age and then being stuck with a lot of questions, but not having answers. And I realized that a lot of my friends felt like I felt when I was 13 years old. They felt stuck. They felt like they didn't know where to go. They needed to make a move. So I started the Chevy Life with $180, and the whole slogan is Live More, Do More. So the idea was to empower as many people around me to go ahead and live their life to the fullest. So wherever they were at, no matter, you know, what their financial status was or their background looked like, I wanted to empower them to really get out there and just create opportunity and create the life that you want to live, because you could. So what I did was I took this $180, I printed 30 T-shirts, I put Chibi on them, right, Chibi, and I sold them.
C-H-I-V-I.
Right, and the reason why I chose that name was because all the way from as a child, I still remember the first day of school always being the most difficult for me because, as you know, children are not the nicest people. So every time the first day of school would come around and they would say, start reading names, the teacher would always have a really big problem for some reason with my last name. Sometimes it was
poke fun.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would get Chimichanga,
yeah.
I would get Chibi Kong, I would get so many random names. So you could imagine 40 kids laughing hysterically, and then I have to live with that name for the rest of the year, right? So I said, why not take that name and create something that I can be proud of, but more importantly, something that means something, that can really transform people. So what is so funny is everything comes full circle, because all my friends who once were ridiculing me for my last name are now customers of my organization, friends that helped me.
Yeah.
So that's how the TV life started.
All right. So what would be what would be the you know, what would be your advice to other people? I mean, I've see what you've, and I'm just as we're talking. If you said, hey, you know, my three things that I think would make a difference in your life, if you're given a keynote, what would those three things be that would make a huge difference in one's life in terms of really living the life they want? All, I think, at some point have an idea of the life we want when we're younger, and even, you know, at any age. We're always having dreams, and I think it's important to have dreams, because what fulfills us at one time in our life, after a while, no longer fulfills us, and we're looking for something else. So what would you say to people that, to young people that are, let's say, at a crossroads in their life? What would be your Eric's three pointers?
Use what you got.
To live a Chibi life. What is it?
Use what you got. Use what you got, number one. You'll be surprised the miracles you can work with by using what you already have, right? And a lot of people my age, they use the excuse that they don't have enough money, they don't have enough time, and I believe that's a lie. I believe that's an excuse. I believe that's a real cheap reason to not go for your goals. So number one is use what you got. And what do you have? You have time. Time is the biggest asset any individual has. So a lot of people my age, they spend a lot of time on their phone, but the time they spend on their phone is not being productive. It's not helping them grow in any type of way, right? So really use your time and plan your time out throughout the day. Use your time effectively, right? So if you use your time correctly, you can make income on the side. You can influence other people. You can start a business. You can travel, right? So knowing how to plan your time accordingly and not letting it go to waste and just drifting.
Right. So the first one is use what you got, right?
Use what you got. Use what you got. Number two would be action. You have to take action. Too many people are stuck by fear. Too many people are stuck by the fear of what other people may say, especially in our age, right? We're ruled by likes, comments, and shares. That right, when you talk about Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, that's what our society is really living by, these rules, these norms that other people have made. And you just have to act. Get out of that fear of not doing. For me, I kept asking people before I launched the clothing line, I launched the Chibi Life, I kept asking people what they thought. And people said, it's a great idea. But it wasn't until I acted, until I took that actual initiative to actually create something, that everything started changing for me. So in order for you to change, you have to change. So create action. And I think the last thing would be be creative, right? Think outside of the box. Do what other people are not doing. Whatever they're whatever the masses are doing, do the opposite, and you will always be successful.
Right. So the third one would be think outside the box.
Yes.
Right?
Right. Yes.
Be innovative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is one of my the things I talk about a lot is to be innovative. And the other thing about taking action is I always say that if you don't ask, the answer is going to be no. That's something that I've just throughout the years have just come back to, and what I tell other people: if you don't ask, you got your answer. The answer is no. It's not going to happen. And the worst that's going to happen if you ask, somebody says no. And it's amazing how sometimes I hesitate about putting myself out there. I don't want to sometimes, let's say, be a pest or to be an imposition on somebody. And so what's amazing is sometimes I've invited people to participate in something I'm doing, and they said, you know, thanks for being so persistent. And it was mind-blowing when that person said that. Thanks for being persistent, because I didn't want to be a pest. And that was really what he appreciated, was that I was persistent and gave him an opportunity. But you have to really believe that what you have, what you offer, has value. And it's just a matter of being willing to fail and to also see failure as really not failure, but really just like feedback. Okay, this didn't work the way I want, but I can do this better. And I can make it happen next time. But unless you take action, like you're saying, it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. Action is the cure of all things. Cure all,
right.
of all things is action. Acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. So I think we're running out of time. I want to thank you for this conversation. And I think you're going to be doing great things. And so how do people get a hold of you?
So people
want to know more about Chevy Life. And,
Yes. Go on the website, chevylife.com. That's chivilife.com, chevylife.com. We actually just released our blog just last night. So on there you'll find keys to how to live a healthy life when it comes to just – everyday life, making decisions to what books to read, to what to eat. So that's what we've really been focusing on now, is broadening our audience, but more importantly, the services we offer to people as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, chivilife.com, definitely check it out. That's where you can stay in touch. We're actually building a soccer field in Guatemala as one of the main projects that we're focused on now. And giving back to us is just always part of the lifestyle. So again, it's live more, do more. The live more aspect is for you, right, to go out there and really live the life you want. And do more is to get more involved in your community, but also give back to others. That's the key.
Okay, so there you have it, friends. We had Eric Chevy-Shan, one of the founders of Chevy Life, and I think you'll find what he's doing very interesting and motivational and empowering. And thanks, Eric, for being my guest. And for all of you out there, every week, as you know, we have amazing individuals join us and for these conversations. And in the meantime, until next week, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.